got introduced to today's guest by a mutual friend and former podcast guest. Dr. Denise Dennis is a marketing automation guru who started her company, Action Accelerated, after a surge of people kept asking her about her process and how she gets webinars set up. From there, become a series of projects helping fellow coaches automate big chunks of their process so they can free up more time and help more people. So there's always some way to get a little more efficient and start getting a return on your time investment, especially if those coaches are feeling overwhelmed. She shares with me what the journey's been like, what she's learned about herself, and some principles of building the know, like, and trust factor using some established tools. Dr. Denise has a heart to serve others and has some free resources out at automate25things.com where you can find what 25 things you should automate in your process. Or reach out to her by visiting her website, drdenisedennis.com. If you're a business or a leadership coach feeling like you're chasing your tail and not making much progress, it might be time to get some automation in place somewhere. Let's listen in now.
Mutes background sounds. Oh. So I guess that's what's happening.
Well, that is an interesting tidbit of information. I've been using Zoom for years and I did not know that. So
I guess, I literally just found that out today. Yeah,
I was today years old when I found that out. So shoot. Well, awesome. Well, it's been good, you know, since the last time we talked, and I'm like, I got to get her on like at least a couple, two or three of my shows and just dig in and talk about different things. So we'll talk about your company and what you've got going on and catch up a little bit, reminisce about old times from a few weeks ago when we first got met,
right?
Introduced,
good
right?
Old days.
I know, right? It feels like it's been forever, but we got here as fast as we could. So remind me what it is. What is your company? Like, what do you do? What is it you do here? Okay.
What I do, I work with busy and overwhelmed coaches to show them how to use automation to attract and convert and serve their ideal clients with what I call predictable excellence. My agency is called Action Accelerated, and I do sales and marketing automation.
Oh, nice. Cool. I remembered that you and I are both like huge automation nerds. And so I'm like, that's part of the reason why I was like so excited about it. I'm like, oh boy, I get to talk with an automation nerd. Yay. So That is cool. So marketing automation, like I know what that is. We know what that is. But if somebody, maybe a listener, like what was like, you know, what does that mean? How do you automate marketing? What is that? What does that include?
It includes, three phases, which we call the customer life cycle of attract and convert and serve. So it's how do you help people become aware of you and what you do? And part of that is through offering things that are interesting to them, but then giving that to them in exchange for their contact information, like their email. Mm-hmm. And then what the automation piece is doing is setting up an automated series of emails to build that elusive know, like, and trust factor that we all always talk about. It helps build that relationship with that prospect until they are ready to buy. And so in the convert phase, it's all about helping people collect the money, because we are in business to collect the money,
right.
To set up automated payment system. So if it's like a coaching program, like many of my clients have, you automatically get paid every month from that client without having to send out an invoice. And then the serve part is setting up automated ways to deliver on the promise that you made. So that's sending the username and password to your membership site, or sending a link to your schedule so they can set up their first coaching appointment. But all of that together can be automated.
Okay. So there's lots of little things along, I guess, the value stream that, you know, when you identify hotspots or like, oh, they're really having a hard time dealing with this part of it, just sprinkle a little bit of automation on it and it makes that problem go away, right?
Yes and no. Uh-oh. So before the sprinkling, you have to be clear on the system, because automating a bad system means that you have a bad automation. Right. So you need to be clear. The person needs to be clear on how do they want things to work, whether it's a human doing it or automation doing it. What do you want, like, the customer experience to be when they become a new customer? What's your onboarding? They're going to get an agreement. They need to pay. You want them to set up their first meeting with you. Maybe there's forms that you want them to fill out. Figure that part out first, and then we figure out what parts of that we can automate.
Okay. Yeah, that there's a parallel to, like, the software testing world. And I tell people, hey, if you're in the business of releasing software and it's not good software, automating is, you're just basically making a high velocity turd rifle. You're just shooting turds at your customers. Boom. You know, it'll get there on time every time,
but it's faster. A piece of crap.
Yes. Yeah. There we go.
Bigger and faster.
Yeah. What can Brown do for you? Right. Oh my goodness. Okay. Well, that's the last poop joke that I've got. So I promise.
We'll see.
You made it. How'd you decide to start this up? Because it sounds like were you dabbling in coaching before, and maybe people just came to you about, oh my goodness, I'm so high. Like, what was it that made you decide to start this whole thing up?
Yeah, exactly. So first of all, my background, my degree, my doctorate is in organizational psychology, which is about applying principles of psychology to the workplace. And I was and am a professor of that. I've been a professor for like 25 years. And while I like being in the classroom, I also wanted to work with people who are actually in the workforce. So I started doing some leadership training, which then turned into leadership coaching when people wanted to talk to me one-on-one. So I had a leadership coaching business for a while, but then between the full-time job and then I got married and life, it was hard to go out and market. So I ended up doing webinars to promote my business. And then my coaching clients would say, how did you set up that webinar? And I was helping them set up their webinar. And it's like, I think this is a business. And so I transitioned into helping people set up webinars, and I had just a webinar business for a long time. But then my webinar clients were not setting up all the other pieces that needed to be automated. So I was like, let me just do all of it.
Here,
so really it's just that I'm a control freak. Really, that's how my business came about. So I expanded it to all types of marketing automation. And that's where the agency was born.
Cool. So how many data points did you have to get before you realized this was a business? Like, was it 17 people in a row that came to you and you're just like, like, you know, because my threshold is like 3, you know, whenever something happens in 3s, it's like time to pivot, you know, but like, how many was it for you? I'm just curious.
That's a good question. It probably was about 5. And it's the kind of thing where you just reach that point where you realize, I've been helping people, and in the beginning wasn't charging. So I was like, oh, sure, let me show you. And all of a sudden I was like, well, this is taking time. I need some money. So, you kind of reach that level where it's like, I like doing this. I'm good at this. There's a need. And when I do it, it's taking time. So I need to charge for that. And that's what prompted the transition.
Okay. Very cool. Yeah. It's funny how life kind of throws that sort of stuff at you. And when you realize there's a pattern here, like, and this is really fun, and yeah, people want to pay me money to do this, you know, it's new. Let's give it a shot. See
exactly
what happens.
Exactly.
I love it. It's always cool to hear somebody's story when it's like that. It's almost like the vast majority of entrepreneurs are accidental. Like, they didn't mean to be a business owner. They just sort of, whoops, and here we are, you know.
Yes.
I love it. What have been some of the biggest challenges that you've overcome? Or I guess, I mean, if you've run into some, you probably just automated around it.
Right? Well, I wish that were the case. I think that the automation usually is the easy part. The challenge is often the business owner, meaning me. So one challenge has been, in the early days, was chasing all the money Even though, you know, we have this saying, all money ain't good money, which means that just because someone's willing to give you money for something does not mean that you need to take it on. And so in the early days when I was doing a lot of training, for example, I took on a training contract where I was doing training several times a day, but it was a 90-minute drive each way multiple times a week, and I hate driving. So I was like, I'm cursing myself out driving down the highway. Why am I doing this? I hate getting up this early. I hate doing this driving. So I didn't love that. And there were options I could have done, could have and should have taken on different projects. But I think when you get started, there's that fear that the money's not going to come. So I better take every single opportunity that comes along, which is not the best use of your time or talents. Mm-hmm. So that was one thing. Along the same lines was this feeling that I needed to be all things to all people, which mm-hmm. then turns into being that, you know, jack of all trades, master of none. Of anything somebody wanted automated, I'd be like, yeah, sure, I can do it. And I would take on projects and then figure out how to do them, which is fine as a learning experience for me. It's like, oh, I've never used that platform. I would say yes, because I'm like, oh, I want to get in there and play around and see how that works. And it was, yeah. You know, I loved that part of it, but it's, you know, then it takes me longer than necessary to do a project. I can't become an expert in anything if I have my hands in everything. And so I learned that I had to say, I support this, and this, and not every single platform that's out there.
Right. Well, so Do you still get people coming to you like, well, but what about this? Do you do this over here? Like, do you just flat out say no? Do you hand that off to somebody? Like, what do you do in that situation?
It really depends on what it is that they want to do. So I am at the point now where there are certain platforms I know that I don't want to do stuff in. I don't want to learn that. I know that operates very differently than how I operate. So I just say no, and I refer them to other people. So that's another thing you kind of learn over time, is that, you know, there's enough business for everyone. So if I have other people, if I have peers that do similar work, I'll like, you know, call this person because they support that. And I focus over here.
Okay. Very cool. I'm curious, what tools do you have in your toolbox? Because when I think marketing automation, I think MailChimp, Constant Contact. I mean, like, mm-hmm. what do you use on your day-to-day?
My favorite is Keap, K-E-A-P, the company formerly known as Infusionsoft, okay. Which is how many people still know it. But the company went through a name change and an identity change. It's an excellent platform. The newer versions have, it comes with a phone number, it comes with a scheduler, you can do emails, you can manage your pipeline, you can take notes on your prospects. It does all sorts of stuff. You can do billing, all of that in one place. So I love that. But I also love Kartra, and I use Kartra for landing pages. I use Keep for everything else. And I try to use the systems that the majority of my clients use so that I can show them, well, here's how I use this and here's how I use this. And so those are the main two systems that I use. And then I have a MailChimp that I literally just use for demos when I do trainings.
Yeah. Okay. Neat. You know what? I haven't heard of either of those. So I'm probably like... Well, I mean, I've heard of them in passing, but like mm-hmm. if I had to pick them out of a lineup, like I wouldn't know like which one was for what. I'd be like, well, that's a cool sounding name, you know, but other than that, I'm like, I don't know what they're for, but.
And that's what I'm here for. That's what I educate people on.
That's cool. Well, I'm glad because, you know, part of the reason, it's going to sound selfish, of why I have this podcast is I can glean some free information off the guests, and I'm like, oh boy, I learned about two new tools that, you know, I'll touch them a little bit and be like, that's neat, and then go back to my tool set of stuff. So very, very cool. Well, I know I know in talking previously, like I know you're into like the psychology aspect of things and like the mind is always on your mind, right? So what have you learned about yourself? Like what has being a business owner taught you about yourself?
I think the biggest lesson that I've learned, the biggest thing I've learned about myself is that I need to trust myself, and that there's not a universal way of working that works for everyone, and that it was important for me to be comfortable and confident in doing things my way, meaning I'm not the person that's going to get up at 4 a.m. and journal for 30 minutes and then work out for an hour and then start, sit down at the computer and start working. And even though I see a lot of gurus and coaches talking about that's what you need to do, I am much more likely to be the person that stays up until 4 a.m., like I did last night, stay up until 4 a.m. on the computer doing client work. And then sleep until I wake up, and that works for me. And I get stuff done, and there's no reason to adjust my life just because that's what other people do. And that was important personally, as well as just in terms of the understanding the rhythms of how my business operates.
Yeah. That really resonates with me because I guess for a long time I suffered from kind of two different things, right? Perfectionism and imposter syndrome, right? And they're just kind of all the time with each other. And what I found was I spent an inordinate amount of time worrying if I was businessing the right way, if I'm doing things the way that the world, the society expects me to do it. And I came to, I'm probably not as far down the path as what you are, because you have a doctorate and I just have a bachelor's degree in something totally unrelated to mind science, right? But what I've found is like, I have to have my own process. I have to own this. Like I can be a business owner or I could be a business owner and just build it into something and own the process, change it, whatever I need and trust that, hey, I'm building my dream. It's my dream. And not worry about what other people think so much. Like I can take advice from folks, definitely, but I'm not going to be like, oh my goodness, what will they think? They're all going to laugh at me. I don't care. I'm 40 now. I'm an old man and I don't care about that sort of stuff. Get off my lawn, right? So ain't nobody got time for that. So shoot. It's cool that we've learned like some really neat things about ourselves. That's the one thing. If anybody ever asks and they come and they say, man, what's the quickest way to self-improvement? Now I'm like, start a business, like that will sharpen you like nothing else. And it's, oh my goodness. It's crazy. It's crazy. But it's fun. It's a fun crazy. Like roller coaster crazy. Like I might fall out of this thing, but right? You know that feeling. You know that feeling. What do you wish somebody had told you about entrepreneurship 5 years ago? If you could go back 5 years, anything?
It would be really right along the lines of what we were just talking about with that perfectionism and imposter syndrome and all of that. I wish somebody had said, you are enough. And I don't mean that in the woo-woo sense, although I'm not anti-woo-woo. I mean that I was ready before I thought I was ready. And I was ready to take bigger steps before I thought I was ready. And so because I didn't think I was ready, I spent way too much time and money following other people. I spent way too much money on coaching programs and all these other things, because maybe I just need to find the right guru to follow and give them, dump a whole bunch of money into their pockets, and then that will transform me into the ideal business person. And not, now obviously I'm not anti-coaching. I have a coaching background. My clients are coaching, are coaches, but I didn't need the guidance I was paying for, because once I got into those programs, I was like, oh, well, I knew that. Well, I knew that already. I knew that already. Why am I paying this money? All this stuff. So I was ready when I was ready. And I, the other part of You Are Enough is that I was doing a lot of subcontracting, where I was working for and with other people, which was a great experience. But I also did that longer than I needed to, again, thinking I wasn't ready to take the bigger steps when I was ready. And I could feel that I was ready as I was doing that work with other people. So it was time.
Yeah.
Earlier than I thought. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I've had people coach me. I've had people coach me on marketing and sales and content creation and stuff like that. And looking back, I agree 100% that you are enough. And what I found was, a lot of times the coaches that I worked with were the ones that gave you the permission to take the step forward. And sometimes we don't give ourselves that permission. We're like, I need to push. I need to push. And it's like, well, you've got the capability. You know, we're all humans. We can learn literally anything that we want to. We can set our minds to it and just make it happen. And giving myself permission was the biggest thing that I had to learn to do, because I was always like, I'm not enough. I'm not good enough. I need something, but I wasn't clear on what the something was. That
right.
Once I had it, whatever it is, okay, now we can do this. And, you know, once you give yourself permission, once you fully own that idea of, yeah, you are enough. You absolutely are. It's like, holy moly. It's like running with scissors. Like, what? You know, it feels reckless, but it also feels right.
Right.
You know, I mean, running with scissors it's not right. Like, if you fall, you die, you stab yourself, but
it's exciting.
Way, right. Yeah, it is, you know, for a time. But yeah, like running around the swimming pool, like, oh, you know, wow, there's so much cool stuff we can get into with that. You know, just the whole, right. Like coaching mindset and like being coachable and just stepping out and doing cool things. There's so much. I mean, it's a wonder sometimes that more people don't start businesses, but then you look at the kind of weight that society puts on people, and they kind of get pushed down. Like, yeah, it's a scary thing. Don't do that. Go for stability. You know, we're fed that for years and years and years. And then it's like, well, actually, it is no wonder that more people don't start businesses, because it is perceived as really stupid scary when it's not nearly as scary. You know, it's people living according to their strengths, and they know what they want out of life, and they know how to, if not get it, they can just step out and try some things and see what works and what doesn't. So neat stuff.
Yeah.
So, well, if you had the chance to talk with a room full of students who were like, hey, senior year of high school, I'm getting ready to go to college, I'm getting ready to, you know, graduate, whatever. And they all were interested in business. They were all interested in entrepreneurship. You know, what would be some advice that you could provide for them?
If they're just getting started, I would say two part. Number one is find somebody who's doing what it is that you want to do, and see if you can work for them, work alongside them, shadow them, even just talk with them to understand what's involved with the business. Because I think for people just getting out of college who haven't actually done that work before, they see, you know, the glitz and glam and what they see on Facebook and Instagram. Well, they're not on Facebook, but on Instagram and whatever, TikTok. Yeah. and don't see all the hard work that goes on, or the the highs and the lows of entrepreneurship. So talk with people about that, but then also do something, take imperfect action, take a step in that direction, and don't rely solely on the book knowledge as you did as a college student, but recognize out in the world, you need to actually take some action in order to get closer to your desired goals.
Okay. Very cool. Very cool. Yeah, it's excellent advice, because I think a lot of people starting off, you know, they've got this kind of cut the apron strings type mentality where, okay, well, once I'm done with my schooling, that's it. I'm on my own. And you're not. I mean, every day I meet new people that are just, you know, they want to see other people succeed. There's good people out there, you know, like, isn't that something? Wow. You know, everybody in the world right. is not out to get you, right? But just kind of coming alongside and mutually benefiting and finding a mentor and learning by doing is really, really important. It's something, I don't live life with regrets anymore. I used to, but you know, one of the things that I'm like, I wish I had learned that sooner. You know, I wish mm-hmm. I had learned that, getting around other people, hanging around them, even just, you know, passively learning from them has been amazing. And I've been doing it for a while now, but it's like, oh, if I just started 10 years sooner, where would I be?
Right.
But I got here as fast as I could. So
exactly. And then, you know, others would say you got there exactly when you were supposed to get there.
Exactly. I love it. Well, I love your mindset, girl. And I'm looking forward to the chance to keep talking about stuff like this.
Oh,
there's a lot of cool conversations we can have. And I'm glad that we got introduced. Who introduced us, by the way? I have it in my notes, but I don't have that in front of me.
Megan.
That's right. And she is cool also.
Yes.
Yeah. Even when she goes crazy talking Spanish and I'm like, right. I know four words in Espanol right. and I'm like, done. Sounds awesome, but I literally don't know what you're talking about. Like,
right.
So, how would people find you? Like if they wanted to, if they're a coach and they're mm-hmm. listening to this and they're thinking, oh shoot, she's talking about me. I do feel like I'm burning the candle at both ends. Like how would they contact you?
The easiest way is to go to my website at drdenisedennis.com, or if they want to just get a guide for things that they could potentially automate, you can go to automate 25 things, and that's the numbers 25, automate25things.com, to get my guide 25 things that every coach can automate.
Cool. Well, shoot, I may sneak over there and avail myself of that resource, even though I'm not a coach, because I'm always looking for things to automate. And if I can steal knowledge from you, it sounds like a one-way thing. So I'd be like, well, how can I help you? Like what things do you need help with? Are you doing all right?
Well, I'm doing well, but I'm always looking for coaches and opportunities to talk with coaches about how they can really grow and scale their business with automation so they can get past that busyness that many coaches feel.
Okay. Very, very cool. I'm working on something. It's kind of a stealth project, but it's something that I'm hoping will lead people to the right people. And I always have podcast guests in mind. Like I had a guy on just yesterday and I said, well, who are you looking for? Like, who are your target people? And he came back with a bulleted list of like companies that are 15 years or younger, companies that are run by this, you know, this kind of thing. They have strong HR presence. And I'm like, I almost started trying to design like a flow chart in my head where if as I'm talking to people, I can just ask them a question. And if they say yes to enough of the right things, then I'm like, introduce them to this person and go from there. So I can easily see. I mean, every time I have somebody on the show or I'm talking with somebody on a Zoom call or whatever, I'm taking notes. I hope the microphone's not picking up like while I'm typing. But I do that because I want to remember like key things about them, what they do, And I have a lot of leadership coaches, business coaches that are in my pool of people that I've met over the years. And I'm like, well, I can't just like fling all 53 of them at you. But, you know, as I meet people, I'm like, they sound pretty stressed. Maybe I need to get them introduced to Dr. Denise. So we'll see what happens.
Right, right.
Awesome.
Wonderful.
Cool.
Wonderful.
Well, it has been a pleasure talking with you, my dear. And I look forward to getting this pushed up. I think you've got a cool message and a cool story, and I want to share it with the world. Okay.
Thank you. Thank you for this opportunity. It's been a great conversation.
Anytime. Well, take care and hope you have a good rest of the day. All right.
You too.
Yep. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Did you hear this episode and go, wow, I'm a founder and all my friends keep telling me I should get on a podcast. Would I be a fit? Yes. Yes, you would. Every single person who steps out of their comfort zone to build their dream has an amazing story to share. And this is the platform for you to do that. If you want to talk about your dream, what led you to start your endeavor, what successes you've had or challenges you've been pitted against, this is the podcast for you. So head on over to archdevops.com/podcast to find out how to get on. And also check out our free tip sheets on guesting or even hosting your own podcast. This is Fritz, your host, hoping to meet you on the other side of the hot mic at ArchDevOps.